You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
What happens is this is Pastor Tom's fault, because we were sitting talking about stuff that had nothing to do with what we should be talking about, and then all of a sudden we had somebody call us and tell us we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing. Is that what happened?
It's all your fault, Joe. Well, we do thank the caller who called and said Joe's making a big mistake. His mic is not on.
Wait a minute. Is that what you said?
No, that's not what he said.
No, but I...
He did call and said, hey, Joe's mic's not on.
Well...
And...
You know what, folks?
We got preoccupied talking about some deep, deep things.
Yep.
And but you just know, didn't realize that
I will tell you this. You know, the last time I walked on water, it was frozen.
Well, caller out there, we do appreciate your call.
Well, thank you, because we would have still been sitting there shooting bulls, and it wouldn't have been a good thing.
No.
So we needed to start paying attention. And thank you, caller, for waking us up. You know, as I said, it's not that I haven't ever done this before, but as my memory goes, I don't remember the last time.
Yeah.
One of the perks of getting old, you can have selective memory.
Well, it happens.
This is the Team Martech Hour, and...
The reason that I was thinking that some of your other cohorts would be here,
and nobody showed,
and so I'm waiting for somebody else to come in.
Here's what happens, folks.
So we can blame it on Vince.
Let's blame Vince. Now Vince is using a grandchild as an excuse.
Is he?
Now, you know, when you had your first grandchild, you're a little excited.
Oh yeah.
When you had your seventh grandchild, were you still excited?
Well, I didn't have seven yet.
Okay, five or three or nine, whatever.
I'm on my third.
Okay. What I'm trying to
say. The first two were girls, and the last one was a boy.
Well, you're excited about the first one and the third one. But, you know, it's like when you have your first child, remember all the pictures taken of the first child? Mm-hmm. By the time the third kid comes, you can't even remember their name.
My daughter wondered one time if she was adopted.
Yeah, right. You know, nothing new. Well, anyway, where we are going with this is that Team Martech started probably around 2004. We don't know exactly, but we're using Hurricanes Francis and Jean as the start date because none of us can remember what date it was, but we're using that as our official. And the concept is very simple. Joe Martek, who is on the air right now, is a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal. All that means is lots of licenses. And basically, most questions to do with investing, I'm supposed to know all the answers to. However, every once in a while, a question comes up from a client of mine that says, hey, Joe, tell me about accounting and the tax code for 2016. I go, uh-huh. That's why we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, as part of the member of the team, because the tax code's only 70,000 pages. And even he says, by the time he reads the newest page, they give him another one tomorrow. It's constantly changing. It's a constantly changing thing. So when we put the team together, the concept was Joe Martek's here to make you money and to teach you about things to do with your IRA, your 401k, any kind of savings plan. And that's what I'm here to do, is to teach you about these things and try to get you so you're somewhat knowledgeable so you can make a somewhat intelligent decision. But all the rest of these things are not my bailiwick, so I had to find other local professionals that I trust, and one of the main criteria was finding people that were in business for a long time, 20, 30 years. Vince Rizzino, CPA, he's also forensic CPA. He taught university level in New York. And besides that, he's a good guy. He's an honest person. He's an extremely committed Christian. In fact, he's trying to get past, did I tell you about this? Trying to get you to start holding a class that we can bring in a bunch of rummies like me and him, and you can, before we start the show, you can start arguing with.
Is he wanting to do that?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be great. We can do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, he
a men's Bible study.
Yes, a male Bible study of old guys that are not too bright.
Can they hear?
No.
Then it'll go well.
It should go well. You can't talk, they can't hear. This is perfect. Anyway, and then the next member of the team, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. When I first started out years and years ago after Hurricane Andrew devastated Dade County, well, it put 13 companies out of business, insurance companies. Now, the state paid every claim for the companies that were admitted, because when the state admits that carrier, they're basically going to be your partner, because none of us can read insurance contracts like that. So they're there to protect you. But Dan, being an independent insurance agent, is a ton different than working for one insurance company. He doesn't work for a company. He works for the insured. And under his umbrella is somewhere between 80 and 100 different insurance companies. Not all cars, not all houses, not all businesses. And Dan has only been in business for about 37 years right here on the Treasure Coast. And in my humble opinion, there is not a better person. There's not a more knowledgeable person. There isn't a person that takes his business more seriously. And he's been able to do a lot of very good things for a lot of people, which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And those of you that have gotten a mortgage know you have to qualify not only on credit, but on what they call a debt ratio, which means you can't have too much debt. I don't care if your credit's perfect, because if you can't afford to make the mortgage payment, you have to prove that you can make the mortgage payment. And he's had occasions, Mike has, when he was doing the homeowner's insurance, that because of the cost of the homeowner's insurance, a customer, a client, would not be able to get their house. They couldn't buy it because they couldn't qualify. Well, he's gone to Dan on numerous occasions, and Dan has found the company that fit, that allowed these people to buy their house. Now, just in defense of any agent, most agents, when you buy a primary residence, are going to write a homeowner's form. That form is a regulated form, and almost all companies write the same form. Some have exclusions, some have additions, but the key is that when you get a homeowner's insurance policy, most of them are the same no matter which company you go to. So now the price can be dramatically different from one company to another. So how do you know the difference? Hey, find somebody you trust, call them up, and have them explain it
to you. Now, would that be that the price would be controlled by the rating of the company, or how many insured they have within the state, or controls?
Stay with this.
Or is just
stay
an arbitrary
that.
Price?
Well, no. What happens is, technically, all rates have to be approved by the state. Insurance companies just can't charge whatever they want. However, companies put in for a certain price based on a loss ratio, meaning, did we make money last year or did we lose money? So I'm going to give you a rule of thumb. This is not an exact, okay? This is an old rule of thumb, because when I was in the insurance business back in the 70s, the rule of thumb was insurance companies take in $100 in premium. They pay out $65 in losses. That left them $35 to make profit and to pay their costs and expenses and commissions and whatever. Well, if all of a sudden they have a bad year and they take in 100 and pay out 100, or take out in 100 and pay 110, they go back to the state and ask for a rate increase, and the state almost always allows the rate increase. Now, however, this next year they have a loss ratio of 40 or 50%. I don't think I've ever heard of a company lowering their rate back down to stay within that loss ratio. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying this is an absolute, but when you got somebody like Dan working for you, he can shop every company for you, not every company, but tons of different companies, and certain houses fit certain companies better than others. As an example, if you have a brand new house, most companies like that. If you're west of US 1, most companies like that. If you're sitting on the water and you're in a flood zone, most companies don't like that. If you have a house built in the 50s or 40s, most companies don't like that. But if certain things have been taken care of to make that house in like new condition, there's companies that say, okay, fine, we will like you, and they'll give you a good rate. But not every company does. So there's a niche. Different companies like different people. Like, here's one that Dan would say if he was here. Drunk drivers. Now, most people know if you have a drunk driving charge, a DUI, insurance companies don't like you and they jack your rate up. Well, there are certain companies that say, hey, we'll look and give you one, because they have seen that very often, unless this person is a card-carrying alcoholic, they get one and it cleans up their act. I mean, they refuse to drive and drink, period, from that point on. So they become an extremely conscientious driver and a much lower risk. Not every company, but different companies. So having somebody like Dan as part of the group that has the sophistication, the experience, the knowledge, all the different companies, has been able to do a magnificent thing. And
okay, Joe, I think we're back here now.
Okay. Anyway, yesterday I was up in Fort Pierce. I'm meeting a client at McDonald's downtown Fort Pierce. This lady works at FPL, and she was on her way home, and she lives way out in Fort Drum. So that was on her way directly, and she's got horses that need tending too, so she can't spend too much time, because those horses get mad if they don't get fed on a clock. If you ever know people that have horses, they know when you're supposed to get feed them, and if they don't, you don't feed them, sometimes they get upset and kick and knock some stuff out. Anyway, we were sitting in McDonald's, and that storm hit with a vengeance.
Yep.
And we got a text on cell phones that said hurricane warning, and they had like two tornadoes that set down within a mile or so of where we were. And then we had lightning either hit the building we were in or immediately next to it, because when you hear the sizzle kaboom, and your hair starts to stand up, that's a clue that it was close.
That's right.
And it was. Anyway, and then that poor lady had to drive home through that horrific, I mean, they had 11 inches of rain in just a very short time.
Lots of flooding up in Vero and all
that.
Yeah,
Indian River County. And that's where she was heading, is going northwest. So anyway, I haven't talked to her today. Anyway, what I was going back to Dan, as an independent insurance agent representing many companies, anybody that's got homeowners insurance or car insurance, quite honestly, folks, I'm telling you right now, don't get lazy. You should call two or three different agents every year when you get a renewal, and shop the price, because most agents don't do it for you. They wait for you to come in and say, hey, you're charging me $1,000 too much. Oh, let me see. Okay, I can lower it. but they won't call you up and tell you. You have to call them. Well, Dan's office, automatically, when you have a renewal, the price goes up too much, they shop it through the computer and call you up and say, hey, by the way, we're going to lower your premium. You know, and that's just the kind of guy he is, kind of operation he runs. Very good. So first two members were Greg Fasula, attorney, which was a critical member of the team, because when people need a will or a trust, and I had to find an attorney that didn't gouge people, that was a good person, who was a good listener, all the things that you don't expect out of an attorney. And anybody that's ever met Greg Fasula has come away saying, that's really a nice person, a good person, and he helps people.
Well, he is. He's a very nice guy.
Yep. I mean, he's the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. And I do mean only. Not that I'm prejudiced against
him. In your opinion.
In my opinion. Humble. Okay, then we have Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I've only known her since 1980. This is the hardest working realtor known to man that I know of. This girl only has two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. She's honest, knows every street in Martin and St. Lucie County and half the streets on in northern Palm Beach County and Jupiter and all that. She knows her stuff. She's going to tell you the straight skinny. Whether you're buying or selling, she's going to tell you the straight skinny, which leads me to Mike Polis, which is actually the newest member of the team, which has been, I think, 3 or 4 years now, who's been like 25 years in business. He's a mortgage broker, and I will tell you, I'll put him up against any bank, any organization, and back again, in 15 minutes, you talk to Mike. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes what you can qualify for. If you walk into a bank, it might take you 2 or 3 weeks to find out the same thing or to find out you can't qualify. Mike will let you know almost immediately. So concept of our group is either to, my job is to make you money and educate you about savings, 401ks, IRAs, different types of investments, and everybody else in the group is out there to save you money. Is that making sense, Pastor Tom?
To me, it is.
This is scary. I don't very often make sense to Pastor Tom, you know. Anyway, but I like it.
But I've heard this before, so I, you know,
repetition.
It's taken two or three times for me to get it. But
what do you mean? How about 20 or 30 or 130, whatever it is? Anyway, call me up, 1-888-221-8990. Now, okay, class, this is education hour. I'm going to be teaching in a minute here about things that we don't talk about every time, because no other member of the team showed. They probably have an excuse, like it's raining.
Well, it was pouring down when you walked in the door.
Listen, they should go up to Maine and they could get
sleet. I thought I heard you, you know, when you pulled up, I thought you were getting out of the car saying, I'm melting, I'm melting.
Yeah, right. One, write this number down. Keep this number. 1-888-221-8990. Again, 888-221-8990. It's a toll-free number from any place. Any kind of questions you have, you call up. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, that's your prerogative, but you can call the radio station anytime. Talk to Pastor Tom or whoever answers the phone. They'll take your name and number and have me call you back, and we're here to help you. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about a semi-new subject.
Okay.
Semi-new.
Semi-new.
Well, first of all, let's talk about my favorite investments right now, which the reason I say this, anybody that knows what's happening with the stock market for the last couple of years, the stock market's been flat. Now, think about this logically. Most of us hear about the Dow. The Dow represents 30 of America's biggest companies. The S&P 500 is 500 of America's biggest companies, and these are what we call indexes. And every day they have a different number. And when the market goes up, usually that means people are happy with those companies and they're buying their stock and they're making the price go up. When the price goes down, that means people are unhappy with them and they're selling them.
Now, when that price goes up and down, is it reflective of all those 500 or all those 30, or is it just...
If you're in the S&P 500, let's say you have an index.
You own a piece of all of them.
You own a piece of all of them.
Okay.
Now, that isn't... Some of them, they call it a weighted average. Weighted means the companies that are the biggest, they carry more weight out of those 500. So they weight the thing with the heaviest companies, the ones that have, like General Electric is a monster company. Facebook is a monster company. Apple's a monster.
So the percentage of that monster company, you would own more of that than maybe of one of the other 500.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So the index basically takes all 500 companies, but the top 50 or 100 companies may make up 80 or 90% of the total. Now, forget all that part. the basic rule of business is, if companies are making money, stock's going to go up. If the companies are losing money, stock's going to go down. It doesn't happen that way every day, but the overall rule is, if a company is doing well and expanding and growing and making profits, their value goes up.
Now, is that why one of those companies that's a monster company, let's say Facebook,
yeah,
or you know, one of the other big companies, when it comes out that that one company has lost money, it affects the whole 500?
The index. Exactly.
The index.
But let's say that one company.
But all the other companies could be making money.
Now, if that happened, is the market will still go up. The index will still go up, because understand, one out of 500, I don't care how poorly it's doing, it'll affect the whole team. But if everybody else is doing well, it'll affect it very little.
Well, if it's one of those, let's say it's one of the 500 companies that nobody ever really hears about, yeah, and it does poorly, it's not going to affect it at all.
Hardly at all.
But if you have that major player.
Yeah.
And he comes out and his quarterly earnings are far less than what they anticipated, it can affect the other 500.
Exactly.
Or the other 499.
It affects the whole index. So yeah, the Dow is 30 companies. So understand, that index could be a bit more volatile. But I've had people call me up and say, Joe, isn't there a formula that you can use to say, how does the S&P 500 relate to the NASDAQ? How does it relate to the Dow? Well, there's no exact formula, but the truth is, if one goes up 10%, the other one probably is going to go up close to 10%. If one goes down 10%, the whole index, the odds are good, the other one's going to go down.
But sometimes you'll see one go up and the other go down.
Exactly. Now, let's take the NASDAQ 100 companies and some of the most popular tech companies like Facebook and Microsoft and Apple. They might be weighted pretty heavy in there, and those companies might be kicking butt and they're doing really well. So that particular index might grow and go up, whereas General Motors or General Electric may not do as well, because different types of industries, like when we have internet or technology companies, they can be soaring and banking can be losing. But overall, when we take a look at these indexes, those are our basic gauges to measure the entire market. Now, all said and done, the Dow has basically sat where it is right now, very close to it, for the last 2 years. It hasn't done anything. So here comes another thing to learn. They have what is called a price-to-earnings index, price-to-earnings. So the price of the stock is directly related in theory to the earnings. So what happens is you have a factor of 10. If the factor of 10, the price to earnings index, is at 10 or less, that usually means that company's stock is a bargain, strictly by numbers. Now, some companies are a bargain strictly by numbers because nobody likes them. They're not exotic. They're not, you know, they're not fun. They're not
timely. They're not Facebook.
So Facebook is growing like crazy, and Apple was growing like crazy because everybody loves the whole concept. And they have a weighting that might be 20 or even 30, which means it's probably way overpriced. But on the other hand, if they keep growing at the rate they are, that's probably okay, that they might still be a good bargain. So like when Facebook came out, it came out around $35 or $40 a share, I forget which, but it's up around 100 now. Well, that means you've tripled your money in 3 years. And most people believe that they're going to continue to grow and become a monster and bigger company, so that it's a pretty good long-term investment. Is there a guarantee of that? Of course not. Absolutely not. So when it comes to pure stock, in fact, I met with a client yesterday, and normally I talk about debt instruments, that they're very conservative. We're going to make 5 or 6%, and 5 or 6 is a really good thing. But she wasn't really interested in making 5 or 6. She was interested in making a lot more. I said, well, everybody wants to make more, but you have to understand the risk when all of a sudden we find something that's paying a dividend, let's say a 15%, just the dividend, mm-hmm, let alone the price of the stock. People say, well, how come that happens? Well, different companies have different rules, but let's just take and stay with that 15%. 15 sounds better than 5 or 6, right?
Well, it sounds better if I'm actually going to receive it.
There you go. Now, that is the exact question you ask. what if I don't receive it? I could lose my money, right? Because I'm in the market.
Yeah, you may come back and the company went out of business and all your investments went with it.
There you go. So what I normally tell people, I said, okay, when we do one of these high yield dividend companies, even though I might think it's a great bargain, I think it's a good time, because here's timing again.
Wasn't Enron a high dividend company?
Well, not necessarily, but Enron, you know, there was fraud inside of that. It wasn't done.
But they were offering people good returns.
Good returns, yes. Now, that doesn't mean that companies with good returns are all frauds.
No.
So you got to be careful.
Well, this is what we're saying. You know, people who invested in that particular company were expecting a good return, you know, but they didn't understand. Not only was there a lot of risk, but there was a lot of fraud going on there.
There you go.
At the same time.
Now, in theory, here we go again, if the company's listed on the stock exchanges and they've gone through the procedure to get listed and they're a publicly traded company, there's all kinds of regulations to make sure these companies are doing what they're supposed to be doing. However, I hate to tell you, but crooks don't care about the rules.
No kidding.
So they'll find a way around it. So what I do is this. I said, okay, fine. Here's this high dividend paying company, and I think it's a pretty good deal. And the homework I've done, I think is pretty good.
It's been around for a while.
Yep, and I can't guarantee it. So what we do is we put in what's called a stop loss. Stop loss. So let's just use an example. Let's say that today's price is $10 a share, and they're paying a 15% dividend, which is real happy, and you'd like to have that cash flow, checks coming in every 3 months. You know, you're making 15 times what the bank is paying you, so you're making, you know, a pretty good return on your investment. Then I tell the client, I said, okay, look it, how low are you willing to let that stock go before it's sold? Now, they look at me like you're looking at me, Tom, saying, I don't know the answer to that. What do you think is the normal question? I'd say,
what can you afford? What risk you want to take?
What risk do you want to take? So they say, what's your opinion, Joe? And I said, well, why don't we use 10%? So if we paid 10 and it goes down to 9, it sells. Now, this is called a stop loss. Now, let's take this other side of the coin, and this has happened too. This same company, because they pay that dividend every 3 months, well, just before they pay the dividend, everybody wants to own it because they're going to collect a pretty good dividend. So the stock price very often goes up quite a bit just before the dividend is declared, because anybody that owns it on that date is going to collect that big dividend. And then right after it pays, you can't get in now for 3 more months and collect that dividend, the price usually comes down. Well, sometimes that swing can be 20% up and down, up and down. So very often, I just say, hey, look, when it hits that magic number, let's pick a number up that it'll automatically sell, and then we pick it up again on the downside. So we double dip, in effect. Sometimes we may never collect the dividend, because if we can pick up 20 or 30% on a spread because of the high and low, who cares about making 10 or 15? Now, understand, this gets a bit more sophisticated than the average person, but when I get a person that has a pretty good level of sophistication, and they've been in the business before, they bought stock and stuff, with the power of a computer today, and once we agree, if you were the client, Tom, we'd agree to do this, then you can monitor it on a daily basis. We monitor it on a daily basis in my office, and we really can make a client happy. So that's what a stop and a limit come in to protect you either going up or going down. Okay? Now, go back into the...
Now, but there's still no guarantee that you're not going to lose money.
Well, hey, if it goes down and you
but
put a stop
but,
in...
But you have you a stop, limit on
you,
your loss.
You stopped your loss at a certain point. Mm-hmm. So, and if you... Now, here's another thing, people. When you buy a stock and you think it's going to... Well, I'll just give you an example. Years ago, when the recession hit, the government was bailing out big companies. They bailed out the automobile industry. They bailed out insurance companies because, you know, it was just a debacle going on. But Ford Motor Company said, no, we don't want your money. They turned it down, the government down. Well, Ford Motor Company stock got down to $1.80 a share, thereabouts. So I had myself and a bunch of clients. I said, you know, I think Ford's not going to go out of business. I really just, this is my opinion. It was rated poorly because of the recession hit and the automobile industry was down. But I said, I really don't think Ford's going to go out. And I said, this is speculation, but I think we might have a home run possibility here. And there's not too many times a home run comes along. But if you want to buy Ford at $1.80, then put in a stop or a limit where we can sell it. Well, some people put in $5 and $6, and almost nobody sold it except me. It got up to $16. Well, you know, Tom, when you take $1.80 and go up to $16, that's called like a 900%
increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess who's happier? They were, me. I didn't get as greedy because I didn't think it was going to go, but they were right and I was wrong. Well, guess what? That's called a home run. You don't hit home runs very often. Facebook, you bought it at 35 and it's got to 100. That's three times your money, 300% increase. That's a home run. Does that happen very often? No. And then when it does, I'm no genius on this. This crystal ball is not perfect when it comes to this stuff. Sometimes you get a gut feel and you feel good about it. So what I say to most people today is I'm not comfortable with the market. The market has been real squirrely. Our economy, even though the government says unemployment is low and the government says this is good and says this is not so bad, this is all that, the reality is this. Most people that were working 10 years ago before the recession hit were making more money on their job than they're making today because a lot of companies have cut back. A lot of companies are not doing 40 and 50 hours. They're doing 30 hours.
People are not spending like they used to spend.
Point becomes this economy has been a very slow growth, and you've got to have a pretty strong growth to have these companies grow. And then we've got government, in my opinion, intervention that is making it more difficult for companies to grow. So I've just been saying to people, hey, my money is not in the market. I don't really see the market as a place to go. I'm sitting out fat, dumb, and happy, making 5% and 6% on debt instruments. Now, a debt instrument, folks, means you don't own the company. It's not common stock. What's debt instrument? Tom loans me $10,000. I sign a note, and Tom says, here's the 10 grand. In the note, it has the terms how I'm going to pay him back. So I'm going to pay him back monthly or quarterly or annually or whatever we agree to. So you get a house note, which is your mortgage. That says how you're going to pay him. You get a car note, furniture note, whatever you buy when you borrow money. If you don't pay cash for it, they put a note together. Well, some big companies, some of the biggest in America, household names, have basically issued these instruments. This is debt now, not common stock. And they're paying 5% and 6% interest. And the good news is these things are 100% liquid, which means I can buy it today, sell it tomorrow if I need to without a penalty. And that's all the good news. But there is
now, why would the company borrow money from me and pay me 5% when they can go to the bank and get it for maybe 3%?
Oh, well, there comes the problem. Now, I'm a publicly traded company.
Mm-hmm.
And my publicly traded company has a charter and all kinds of documentation that sets out how I can operate as a company. And let's say I'm a company that makes widgets.
Okay.
And that's my business. But while I'm in business, I decide to make curmudgeons. And that might not be a part of the widget part. So then I spin off this little area here and I raise money to make the curmudgeons rather than the widgets, and it's not part of the charter. And the bank says, no, we're not going to do that because it's not part of your charter. I can still do it because I'm a company allowed to do it, but that's just one example. There's a utility.
So then you would go to investors and
exactly
get the money.
So you go to investors and get the money. Sometimes during the height of the recession when money was extremely tight, they just felt it was easier to go out and issue these instruments rather than trying to fight the system with the banks, with the regulations that the government has put in that made it more difficult. So lots of different reasons, but the most important part is if you're dealing with a company that's a household name that you feel comfortable with, I don't see a major problem. They're good. 1-888-221-8990. 888, that's the phone number, 221-8990. You call up, you ask me questions about this stuff. Glad to help you, give you information on it, show you how it works. Just to continue on that vein. Now, folks, this is an important phone number. You know, you're supposed to be calling me and asking me questions here. You know, Tom, I'm putting poor Pastor Tom to sleep because he's waiting for a phone call. 888-221-8990. Now, these are 100% liquid. What's that mean? That means they trade on either the New York Stock Exchange, the ones I deal with, or the NASDAQ, which means I can buy it today at 10 o'clock in the morning and I can sell it today at 10:30 in the morning if I want to. They're 100% liquid. It's the only ones that I deal with are 100% liquid. There's a couple of more things that happen with these that are a bit of a negative. One, these have call dates. Call dates mean they can tell you to take your money and leave. Why would they do that? Well, most of them have a call date in there because they think maybe they can get a better deal by paying you off and borrowing the money from somebody else, or maybe they don't need that money at some point because the widgets or the curmudgeons are making, they just don't need it. So the call dates I'm using are basically between 2 and 5 years out from today. So you know you're going to have this money available and you can collect the interest for the next 2 to 5 years. But on the other hand, understand if you need it somewhere in between, you can always sell them. They trade on the open market. 888-221-8990. Anybody's got any questions on that? And by the way, most of these things that, whoop, we got a caller here. I think I'm going to have to take this. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, you were talking about these investments that, you know, some companies look for, you know, people that to borrow money from, and you get 5-6%, right?
Yes.
In return? Okay, I have all my money with a, like, Merrill Lynch right now.
Okay.
Can I get them to go do that for me, or is it something that I have to do myself, and how do I go about doing that?
Well, here's what happens is Merrill Lynch is a broker, and I am a broker. So technically, any broker can do what I can do. Now, that doesn't mean, now understand this, there's 30,000 different investments out there. Not all brokers know all investments. Some of us, like myself, have picked niches that we're more knowledgeable about than other brokers. So I'm not saying they can't or won't. They may or may not even know about this particular niche that I specialize in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand.
So literally, you could go through me, or you could call up your broker at Merrill Lynch and say, "Hey, do you have any debt instruments that are paying 5 or 6%?" And he'll say, "Let me go check it out." If he doesn't know, then he'd have to go do some research and homework and find out if he learn about it before he could tell you.
Okay, very good. So that's what they're called, debt instruments.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I was just curious if I can go through him because, you know, I want to make sure that.
Oh. You want to make sure what?
I just want to make sure that I can do it through them. If not, the other alternative would be you, correct?
Well, no kidding. Hey, I would like I'd like you to say, hey, forget Merrill Lynch. You should go through Joe Martek because he's the one that's willing to teach you about these things.
No, that's what I wanted to understand. So, very good.
Hey, thanks for your answer. Thank you for calling. 1-8 I'm a bit self-serving here, folks, but for obvious reasons, I'm teaching and trying to get people, but I'm not a philanthropist. Can you believe that? In order to be a philanthropist without money is almost impossible. So anyway, if you have any questions, you call 888-221-8990, and I got another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I have my son is 8 years old now, and together, we've been putting money into a bank account, and there's probably $1,100 in it right now. But we keep tossing money into this, and he calls it his Paris account because one day when he's older, you know, we'll go to Paris together as a family, and we'll be using the money that you know that's being put into this account.
I like the concept. I like it.
Yeah. The problem is that I'm, you know. So I'm teaching him about banking, but one of the things that's coming across in this lesson is that the bank is giving you next to nothing in interest.
Exactly.
So my thought was that when I reach a certain increment, like $1,000, that I would take that money and invest it in a debt instrument or bond or some stuff.
Something that pays a little better than nothing, right? I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and what could I do with $1,000? You know, I don't think I can call someone up and say, "Hey, invest this in a bond for me." What do you recommend?
Well, what happens is, again, even though $1,000 isn't much, it's a start. So the whole concept is, where are you located?
We're in Palm City, Florida.
See, I'm in my office is in Palm City in the Palm City Law Building. You know, when you come over the road, over the Palm City Bridge, sure. that three-story building right there.
Absolutely.
So you could make an appointment and come in, and we could give you information on it and help you set up that account. And we could go into a debt instrument paying 5 or 6%, and over a period of time, you could add money to it. Or we could look at other things, because if I'm understanding you right, he's only 8 years old. The odds are good you're not right. going to Paris for a few years.
Yeah, you know, I figure around age 16, something
okay.
like that.
So we got 8 years to go. So rather than making one half of one quarter of 1% or less at the bank, if you can make 5 or 6 or even do a little better, that makes it more palatable, and you'd have more cash to spend when he turns 16.
Right. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So when you talked to Pastor Tom, did you give him your name and phone number?
I did.
Okay. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to have my young lady, Nikki, give you a call tomorrow, and she'll set up a time that you can come visit, and I can give you information on this, and let's see if we can make it work for you.
Well, I look forward to it, and I appreciate the fact that there is something, you know, that we can do better with this money than keep it in the bank.
Hey, no doubt. That's the easy part for me. when they're paying you nothing, boy, that's easy one to beat, right?
Right.
All right. Hey, listen. Thanks so much for calling and listening, and you'll hear from Nikki probably tomorrow, and we'll set up a time that's convenient, and then we'll see what we can accomplish.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Bye. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Now, I like that, family. If they can save some bucks for a trip of a lifetime, what a nice goal. Another phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
My name is Cedric, and I'm just trying to find out. If you're a new investor, you're just trying to learn information on how to get started, what would be the best way to do so, and how much you really have to, you need to invest with?
Well, there's no real small amount, but understand this, that no matter what you do that you start with, you got to pay somebody to help you and teach you. And the concept is this. You know this, and I know this, that $500, $1,000, $2,000 is never going to make you a rich person. I don't care how long you've got it. But on the other hand, if you put a discipline together where you can add money to this account every so often and have it invested for you properly, you've got a chance over a period of time to end up with a pretty nice nest egg. So the education process starts with today. You're on the radio, and you're asking me a question, and we answered that one. And then over a period of time, you learn more and more and more. You know, the word ignorant means I haven't been taught yet. Once you know what you're talking about, you're walking a whole different path. So what I try to do is teach people and how they can work for the future and accumulate and save. And it really depends on you, what your goal is and how much you're going to have and what you're looking forward to accomplish and over what period of time. And all those things I would answer for you. And then we put a plan together. And if it works, hallelujah, we won.
And how would I be able to get in contact with you?
Okay. Did you give Pastor Tom your name and number when you called?
Yes.
Okay. He's got it. My young lady, Nikki, who's in my office. I call her the boss because you and I both know we have to do what women tell us, right?
Exactly.
So she'll give you a call, and we'll set up a time, and we'll get together, and I'll help you learn and teach, and I'm never in a hurry. That's what I do. I'm a teacher.
Perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990. Two good questions, two good young people that have goals, and this is all a good thing. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. Can I take money out of an IRA and invest it in this in these bonds?
Absolutely. What they do is, if you have an existing IRA or any kind of tax-deferred account which you've not paid tax on, you have what's called a transfer. You transfer it from company A to company B, and there's no tax. So as long as you don't put it in your pocket, there's no tax consequence. So the answer is absolutely yes.
So any money that I make on it would go back into the IRA?
It stay right in it. Yep. Stays right in it. when you don't take money out and put it in your pocket, there's no taxes until you do. Okay.
Another question.
Yep.
At my age, I'm 66. Should I start taking money out of my IRA and put it into a Roth or something and start paying taxes while I'm still working?
Well, the answer is yes, but I want you to think about this logically. You know the difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA?
One, you pay the taxes. I mean, you take the money out. The money in a Roth has already had taxes paid on it.
What happens in a Roth, exactly, you put money in, and whatever you put in, you've already paid the tax on. And then the deal with a Roth is, it grows, let's say, for 5 or 10 years. And let's say you put in $100,000, and don't pay attention to my numbers, I'm using easy math, and now it's worth $300,000. 100% of that in a Roth is tax-free. Okay? So any money you take out of a Roth after age 59 and a half, which you are, there's no tax consequences on that Roth. Now, here's a question, though. You've got money in an IRA right today, and are you working still or no?
Yes.
Okay. And how much longer do you think you're going to be working?
Probably another 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So you're going to work till you're about 70. Now.
Yeah, at least.
Okay. Now, when you turn 70 in a regular IRA, you have to start taking out what they call a mandatory distribution, an RMD, which is about 4% the first year of whatever the account is. Now, think about this. When you're working, you're making money, and you're paying a higher tax rate than when you're not working. So let's assume when you quit working, unless you're very, very smart and lucky, you're not going to be a wealthy man when you're retired. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now when you're working, you're paying taxes, and if you take money out of an IRA and pay taxes on it, and you pay taxes on it to put it into a Roth that you're not going to touch for 5 or 6 years, 5 or 6 years, if you're not making any money or not working, you're not going to have any tax consequences. You'll be able to take your Social Security and maybe a little pension, and you still may pay no taxes. So then if you add your IRA money, you still may pay no taxes. But right now, if you take...
So any money earned through the Roth, I don't pay taxes on it?
Period. Any money it earns, you never pay tax on it. But understand this. Let's say you're now 70 years old, and you're only collecting Social Security. Do you have a pension, or will you have a pension?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just say you're making $3,000 a month between Social Security and pension. Does that make sense? Does that sound like a fair?
A little more.
Okay, say $4,000. So literally what happens is that $4,000, if we added some IRA money to it, now you're making $4,500 a month, how is that going to affect you tax-wise? If you took money out of a Roth and we're taking $500 out, that's no tax, how would that affect you tax-wise? But right now, while you're working, if you convert IRA money into a Roth, you got to pay tax on it now. So you might be worse off converting to a Roth because you're in a higher tax bracket while you're working than you will be when you're retired. Does that make sense?
It does, but right now I make enough money that it wouldn't really bother me to pay taxes on it.
Okay,
taxes on it today while I've got a good income.
All right.
I make a sizable income.
Then the answer is yes. This as long as you know the facts, and what I normally suggest to people like yourself is you talk to your accountant, your CPA, whoever it is, and say, hey, how much money would you suggest I take out of my IRA, my traditional, and put into a Roth now to avoid tax? Or how much tax will I pay if I do that? So once you know the facts, then you look and say, okay, fine, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm not dead, and I want to take out $100,000, and it's all in a Roth, 100% of it's tax-free. You can go buy that airplane or whatever in the world you want to do with it. It'll be 100% tax-free.
Beautiful. Okay, that's basically what I wanted to know.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Some good questions. That Roth and traditional take a little bit of accounting to make sure you're doing the right thing. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you if you have any suggestions for me. For my retirement, I am 51, I have a little bit under $20,000 on my 401k, and I like to, I probably will make more money a year than what I'm making now.
Right.
And I like to find out, I'm not doing anything other than just contributing to my 401k.
Okay.
And I like to know if you have any suggestions on probably how to increase my retirement account.
So let's talk about the 401k first. You put money in. Does your employer match any portion of the money you're putting in?
3%.
Okay. So you definitely have to. This is a really smart thing to do. Always put in the 3% because they're going to match 3%, because that means that's 100% return that day, that year, automatically, right?
Correct.
So you always want to do that. Now, over and above that, there's all kinds of different options that you can put money into to earn money. And one of the problems with the 401k, and it's not a big problem, but usually 401ks have limited investment options. They don't give you a lot of choices. And oftentimes when I talk to people, they've not been educated very well on what their choices are. They get into something that they don't really know and understand, and they get stuck with it. And they're not too happy with what's happening. So one of the things that I do, I will look at your existing 401k and say, hey, this is maybe you should move some of the money internally inside of that. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't pay me anything. And because you've still got another 15 years or so to work, am I right?
Yeah, got me.
I'm not happy for you, but that's called life. There's nothing like getting your AARP card and said, I've still got 15 more years to work. Boy, oh boy, am I excited, right? Anyway, what happens is this. When you talked to Pastor Tom, did you give him your name and phone number?
I did.
I will have my young lady, Nikki, call you, and we will set up either a phone conference or a physical appointment, and we'll start educating you and giving you some choices so you can plan a little better for your retirement. Does that make sense?
That would be great.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, and you'll hear back from Nikki probably tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-221-8990. And we got another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you.
We appreciate you getting on the radio here and talking about all this good stuff.
Hey, thank you so much.
My question is, oh, you're welcome. We sure love WCNO. Anyway, my question is kind of similar to the last phone call. I am in my mid-50s, kind of been up and down, up and down, up and down. So right now my wife and I are on the building stage of, we've got both pretty good incomes. But I'm investing in the 401k right now.
Right.
And it pays pretty much like the last caller said. I think it's 3%. So
right.
I've been putting in about 10%. Am I better off, do you think, to sit down with you guys, talk, and maybe just put that 3% in so I get that, and then put the rest in the other investment you were talking about earlier, it draws the 5%.
Yeah, here's what happens. And it's real hard to keep track of it exactly, but the reality is if inside your 401k you're not invested in the right place, you could be going backwards even by putting in 3 or 6%, because the market, if it's not treating you properly, you could be losing money. Secondarily, you could be in an investment that pays nothing, and you're just putting money in there and letting it sit, and it's not doing anything for you. So one of the things that I try to do is educate people on what you have already. So maybe you can make a move inside of that to better accomplish your goal. And then two, rather than putting money into the 401k, which may not have the investment options, most of them have limited investment options, where we could go into something that's going to have a better chance of return and a better chance for liquidity. You can always... Once you have an outside account that is not controlled by your employer, it's controlled by you. You can do whatever you want with it whenever you want. You don't have the restrictions of the employer. However, whenever you can get matching money, that's called 100% return. You can't beat 100% return no matter what you do. So you always want to match every dime you can in the IRA, in the 401k. But as you said, it might be in your best interest to take any excess money and put it someplace else that might give you a better return.
Okay. And you I gave Pastor Tom my phone number. So I would love for Nikki, she's going to be busy, have her call me, and I'd like to sit down and talk with you because we kind of went up, like I said, up and down, so we're rebuilding.
I understand.
And we want to make sure it's solid this time, so we want to stay conservative, but at the same token, we want to put away maybe $1,000, $2,000 every month.
Sure.
And let it grow. So,
well, that's why one of the reasons I get into these debt instruments right now, because I'm not a big believer in what's going on in the market now. So we're making 5% or 6% for a period of time. And then when things turn, we have opportunities. We can always switch gears. And that's my job, is to keep track and to help people make good decisions. So I'll have Nikki give you a call tomorrow and we'll go from there.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling. 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. We're running low on time, but you call the station anytime, talk to Pastor Tom. He'll take your name and phone number and have us call you. And, you know, my job is to help people. And, you know, this is probably the best job in the whole world. I've often thought, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be a Baptist preacher someplace, because I could get paid to help people. What a good deal that is. Of course, you know, I'd have to study the Bible a little harder. But in fact, that the fellow that baptized me back in 1982 was a genius, as far as I'm concerned. One of the smartest guys I've ever met in my whole life. And but that was a stroke of luck that I met him, and he led me into meeting Pastor Tom, which scares me to death now that I think
about it. Hey, we had a caller that was holding there. I tried to transfer him in, and we lost that call. If he would call again, we'll try to get him.
Did you get his name and number?
Yeah, I got his name and number. But
you're not all bad for a secretary.
Well, we're trying to get him on the air, and I tried to transfer him, and for some reason, my phone went dead out there.
Now, question is, how much time do we have left?
We've only got about 3 minutes.
Okay, so if he has a chance, you can call in right now, and if you...
And he held on quite a long time.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody, for calling so much today. Some of these subjects are near and dear to my heart, and if my job is to help people make their life good, so we're working on it. We're working on it. Anyway, 888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990. Now, again, we're running out of time, so the odds are pretty good. We're not going to get you on the radio yet today, but anybody wants to get this learning process and try to figure out what we can do to make you better off financially, that's my job. Pastor Tom, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, we've got about a couple of minutes here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the phones. All of a sudden, all my phones here have lost their signals and stuff. And
well,
so
you know what happens? You know, this is...
Yeah, there's a big storm here in the area.
Yeah, there was a storm ripping around out here.
Yeah,
are we still on the radio?
We are on the radio. That's not the problem. Problems with the phones. You know, they've been working on the phone lines up and down Map Road here the last week.
I thought it was the last 20 years.
Well, they've really been at it the last couple of days. But anyway, we're just about out of time. You got about 1 minute.
So what I'm trying to say, folks, is even if you can't get through right now, you can call later today or tomorrow. Tom, are you leaving here at 5 o'clock?
I'm leaving here right at 5. And I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to... Lake City to see the boss. He's been in the hospital since the 19th of last month.
Wow.
With heart surgery, and wow, He's not doing well, so I'm going to go see him.
Is anybody going to answer the phone tomorrow?
There will be someone around to answer the phone.
So guess what? You call tomorrow, you won't talk to Pastor Tom. He'll be out talking to the boss and holding hands, and hopefully is he going to be
praying with him.
Is he going to be okay?
We hope so.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, is he old?
He's a little older than I am.
Well, everybody's older than
I am. I'm still young.
You are not, but you look old, but that's okay.
All right, say goodbye, Joe.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for calling. And remember this, 888-221-8990. Thank you so much. Bye. Okay.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program.